We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler. It's the edition of the show this week. Grant Bills, Paul Emig. I've taken some time to think about it. I'm totally in on this Tommy DeVito story. I think it's super fun. I can't because it happened on a Monday night against the Packers. So forever, I can't. Also, I thought the thing was a little weird. I thought it was weird, like, you had two New York teams that were 4-8. Now they're both 5-8, but you had two New York teams that were 4-8. And both of the teams had expectations. Don't tell me the Giants didn't have expectations. They were in the divisional round last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They won a playoff game. They extend their quarterback because they thought they were close. One team is a complete and utter disaster. Everything's bad. Hail Mary, pick sixes, Rodgers, Zach Wilson, Tim Boyles, Trevor Siemian, Robert Saleh, Colgate commercial. It's all a disaster. Everything's bad. And then the Giants, it's like, hey, I am like sort of Italian. And this guy is Italian too, like us. And he likes cutlets, and let's make t-shirts. And let's have the most fun we've ever had. He's like their Sam Congato. It's like, who is this guy? Why does he exist? It's so very fun. And I can't get into it, and I'll never get into it. One, and I stand by this, like, as someone who is Italian, and I got a lot of pushback from that as a pale, red-bearded man, but I do identify with Italian lineage. Someone who is Italian, I'm like, wow, this is like a caricature. But also, it happened against us, and we helped make this story. So still a day later, I'm like,
we're not doing it. Where does your Italian come from? Mama, Dada, Grandpa?
Italy.
Grandma? Dad. Italy, yeah. Italy.
Well played.
My great-grandpa's name is Arturo Brunelli.
No, it's not.
My great-grandpa.
For real?
Yes, Arturo Brunelli.
Oh, Italian as hell, for sure.
But then he married, like...
Patty Smith.
My grandma is, like, from... the middle of like Missouri.
Okay.
And then my mom married whatever my dad is, where we thought we were German forever. And then because of Winkler. And then we found out we were actually like just straight English.
Really?
Yeah. With like a dash of Irish.
Yeah.
But mostly we're nothing. So the Italian obviously disappears. As you go. But look at how much I've just talked with my hands.
Oh, sure.
I love pizza.
Oh, yeah. I must be Italian also.
I grew up, I don't know if you guys know this, I grew up not a Ninja Turtle fan because I liked guys that were cool but rude and party dudes, mm-hmm. but because I appreciated how they honored some of the great Italian artists of our time. With the Leonardos,
of course,
and the Donatellos, and the Raphaels, mm-hmm. and the Michelangelos, and the Giovanni de Splinter, who is a little more under the radar.
Do you remember that one portrait by Shredder?
Yeah.
The masterpiece.
Rossellini Shredder.
I agree with you, by the way. I agree with everything, but I can't. I'm a Packer fan. So if we say it, it's sour grapes. So we're just kind of
no. I will say, Of course, I didn't check our text messages until after the
game.
The
family's one thing. The agent took it to a level of, and of course, the Peter Schragers of the world are eating it up on a Tuesday morning.
This is what I said on my show on Monday afternoon. I'm like, you guys, if the Packers lose this game, this is going to be annoying as shit, and it's going to be our fault.
Anything for that show to talk about something non-football.
The only thing is, though, like that, I'm mad at myself for, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, like, I would have been like Q, right? I would have just been celebrating the loss, but I let myself come in and buy in. So I was like, I'm a little bit mad at myself for coming back, which, by the way, they still have a, what did Andy Herman say? Like, a 52 to 54% chance still making the playoffs. So, like,
hey, I don't need Herman. I need to look at the standings. We're seventh place.
They're also one game, one loss away from the fifth pick in the DRAFT draft.
Oh, yeah.
So it could go either way. But I will say, that game sounded really lively. Like, early on, the Packers fans were really vocal. And then as the game went on and Tommy DeVito was doing Tommy DeVito things, then you add in some of the shots of the family. Like, I think the TV show Monday Night Football last night was a really good TV show. Yeah. I'm thoroughly pissed that the Packers lost and that I was back in and I was like emotional with the every snap. But as much as like, oh God, now we got to deal with more Tommy Cutlets, it made for an overall good 3+ hour television program. Yeah. So I didn't like the story per se, but it added to the.
And Aikman was a star last night, saying what all of America was thinking after a weekend of frustrating officiating. Aikman's like, what the hell? We saw this in 5 seconds. It takes these clowns 5 minutes. Like, Aikman, I had a buddy text me last week. He's like, Aikman's cooking right now. It's like, this is every week, my guy. Aikman is a star.
He had some comments on the game itself.
And I also, I just say on that point real quick, sorry, Bart. Like, no. I watch a lot of, I listen intently to announcers. I pay a lot of attention to it, more than I wish I did.
You read Barrett Sports Media, too. You are in the know.
Sure. I saw some more, like, Joe Buck hates the Packers stuff last night. What is that? Just – I don't hear that.
I saw a lot of that, too. Again, they've called some high-profile losses. This is all it is. It's when we lose in the playoffs, we lose on Fox. They have been the number one team on Fox.
Yeah.
Now there's a very frustrating game. Who's the announcers? Joe and Troy. They don't hate the Packers.
I just don't hear.
Tony Dungy hates the Packers. Tom Jackson hated the Packers. I don't think Joe and Troy hate the Packers.
No, I mean, I don't hear it. I don't hear it.
You don't have to apologize for me. You know who does is Steve.
Sparky the Homer True?
No, Sparky Pfeiffer. Oh. Tim Shea tweeted a picture of me on his news board at 58.
I was going to bring that up.
As I was on the news, on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream, you can see the glare off my phone. Mike the Painter said, it looks like Bart hasn't gotten any sleep in weeks. Sparky says, totally agree, 2 exclamation points. Maybe he should apply some makeup at home before going on TV. Ha ha ha. No, I did a podcast after a night show. I go to bed at 1 and change. I get up to do a TV hit from my basement. I mean, they're lucky I put on a polo, okay?
Tim works for a direct competitor of Channel 12. And he's at work watching Channel. I guess it's on. I don't know. I thought that was a little bit of a sticky situation there from Tim.
They're doing competitive research at all times, Grant.
That's part of it. Yeah, we used to, when I was in TV, our news was on 8, and then the 19 news was on lacrosse, and then the Eau Claire news, 13, no one cared about. But there'd be 3 TVs stacked up against each other, and the news director would come out and just look at, and then just watch, like, have to know what they're doing. Have to fucking know what they're doing. Just do your thing, man.
Agree. All right. Do your thing.
A couple of stats on the game, or things that are talking points. Zach Cruz notes the Packers held second half leads and losses to the Falcons, Raiders, Broncos, Steelers, and now Giants. They held leads in the second half in all these games. It's the fourth time the Packers gave up a lead immediately after taking it. Huncho says, Giants ran for 200 yards. The Giants are allowing 6 sacks per game on average, none for Green Bay. Giants had 1 rushing touchdown all year, 2 on Monday. Tommy DeVito, third-string QB, ran for 71 yards on 9 carries, 3 incompletions the entire night. I think I saw something that at halftime or before halftime, they realized what they could do to kind of exploit the Packers, and that's what it was. Once DeVito hit his first long run, the read option was there for them as much as they wanted, and then Saquon's runs were a lot deeper. And if he didn't fumble that one, we're not even, like, in this game. This was
– yeah.
And then when we know they need a field goal, like –
All right, can I get in my first topic?
Yes. We know they need a field goal, and he's like,
"All right, ready?
All they have to do is exactly what we let them do.
Two timeouts, too. So hold on. They didn't have any timeouts. They had 2 timeouts. Sorry, Paul.
Ready? There's a reasonable explanation for why Joe Barry or any defensive coordinator, but in this case, there's a reasonable explanation that exists as to why Joe Barry with 1:40 on the clock and 2 timeouts for the Giants would schematically set up the defense the way he did. That there's a reasonable explanation that could possibly exist.
Look, Joe Barry's gotten some credit as of late, and he is holding the teams to about 20 some points.
He just lost all of that credibility.
Oh yeah. I mean, the tweet that I won't get out of my head is that he's built to stop Patrick Mahomes. Like, the most elite quarterback of the game, Joe Barry's defense can figure out how to beat him. The problem is it also somehow allows everyone else to be the Patrick Mahomes that they can't stop. Like, Tommy DeVito, if you watch Tommy DeVito, Patrick Mahomes' game against us was like, he couldn't figure it out. He looked bad. He got outplayed. DeVito is running when he needs to. That ball that he had in the corner of the end zone, which – I think was the turnaround point for a lot of Giants fans to think, oh shit, is he our guy? You know, we allow that to happen. And not that Tommy DeVito doesn't have talent, not that he doesn't have skill. Didn't he have 3 1-yard rushing touchdowns against the Badgers 7 years ago in Illinois or something?
7 years ago? I know he's 25, but was it that long ago?
He played the Badgers with Illinois. It's just, I don't know. And then that defense, it's like, but at some point still, yeah, Joe Barry, and the same thing with the Bucks. Like, these guys, you get to the pro level and you just blindly accept what your coach and coordinator say at all times. Like, all right, guys, line up like this. No one's like, whoa, Joe, we're going to give him all this yardage. Or do they not know that?
Well, no, but here's the problem, though. And I'm not saying this is necessarily like a universal bad thing. Joe Barry's up in the press box. It's not like you can go up to him on the sideline and say, Joe, what? You can't put me in that situation. Let me do this. And again, I mean, I'm not saying.
You mean bitch to LaFleur, your position coach?
Probably, yeah.
I don't know. I understand things are going very fast.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Maybe you can't do that.
So, Bart, and then Grant, I would love, obviously, for you too, but like, I want you to be Joe Barry, and I want to ask you, Joe, you know, there's a lot of people wondering the rationale and the reason behind playing the type of coverage and the type of defensive scheme that you did in that final 1:40. What was your reason, Joe? Can you kind of walk us through what you're thinking? Give me I'm trying to honestly conceptualize an answer. Like a I'm not good at my job. Answer. What is the answer? Like what is his in his head? I'm genuinely asking. I don't know.
I don't either.
There's a couple different angles. I don't want to be. I don't watch all 22. Like I don't know scheme very well. So I'm trying not to judge off screenshots and off just little flashes of the television broadcast. It would seem like they were playing a little bit too far back and they had some sort of prevent thing going on. Seem like they were calling or the defense was called as if there were 40 seconds left and the Giants had no timeouts and not 1:20 and 2. Like the clock almost isn't – it's not part of the game plan at that point. That is so much time, especially with 2 timeouts. So it's almost like you just need to play honest-to-goodness defense because the clock ain't going to help you in that situation. So I don't know exactly what his scheme was. I know what it looked like, and it looked really bad. I also, like, for all of the numbers that Tommy DeVito racked up last night, I don't want to say Joe Barry's not at fault. That's not what I'm saying. But Rashawn Gary no-showed, and their pass rush no-showed, and their defensive line put zero pressure on him. And he doesn't have a secondary. And he doesn't have Quay Walker, who's our leading tackler. So, I don't think Joe Barry is the world's best defensive coordinator. He's not exactly working with a whole lot right now, unless his pass rushers play awesome, which against the Chiefs and the Lions they did. Last night it was like basically they were just like sprinting towards the opposing goalpost. Like that was the goal. Tommy DeVito, they kept saying, oh, he escaped the pocket. Not really. The pocket just shifted right past him, and then he looked around and thought, shit, like everyone ran right by me. I'm just going to tuck it and go. So,
yeah,
the scheme looked bad, and I'm interested to hear what Joe Barry has to say. And obviously we wait for the All-22 and, you know, every fucking person on Twitter to break it down and label it for us. But I also want to have reasonable expectations for Joe Barry without a lot of his good players and really without a secondary.
Hurt. I mean, if this is a fully healthy Packer team, Aaron Jones, Christian Watson, Quay Walker, Jair, you got to think they win that game. But still,
they're really, really banged up right now.
But they're good, and I think they're good enough. And LaFleur was kind of mad for once after a presser. I don't know though. I don't know.
Like on one hand, he doesn't get referenced enough, so I'll mention Andy Herman. Tuesday morning, I saw, or maybe, yeah, it was Tuesday morning, he had a, it's this morning. He had a tweet with just like his notes.
And yeah. It's a freaking book.
Of just mistake after mistake after mistake. And so I see this poorly played game that the Packers should have still won, and I still think the final 90 seconds of defensive coverage and calls is unfathomable to me. But despite all of those mistakes and all of these, not just injuries, oh, yeah, it's, you know, key injuries, they still on the road, despite playing a really bad game. So, like, that at the same time gives me optimism that they're actually a good team, like a legitimately good team that they can and that they can be that close on the road with all of those injuries and still should have won. And what I like, the double digit bad mistakes and some really, 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 really costly ones like the Keyshawn Nixon fumble. So I don't know. I guess I leave that game like in the moment infuriated by it. And also like, wow, they were in that game, should have won that game despite all of these things. I mean, that's the balance for me right now in trying to determine how these final four might go. I think they're still a good team, but they're a young team, and they're a really injured team at key positions, and they're working their way through how to play with expectations. Has a Jordan Love team ever played with expectations before? Like, no. Have many of these guys been on a team that was expected to win and win their fourth straight? Like, many of them, no. I don't know. What do you guys think?
First of all, I don't think we're good enough to have a trap game. So I want to shut down that narrative just a bit. Like everyone was asking going into this game, is this a trap game? We're 6-6. Like we don't get trap games.
Yeah,
but where we play poorly. Like we get bad game. Are they due for a stinker? Yes, but is this a trap game? There's no such thing as a trap game for a 6-6 team.
Well, I'll disagree with you in the sense that like I agree with what you're saying logically, but not to throw like the, well, I once covered in an NFL team and I'll tell you what I feel.
Put the me in media. Let's go. Yes.
Let me do that for a second. But I would just say players, if you're on a 3-game winning streak and you're feeling really, really good, you do change mentality. Oh, yeah. Mentalities change, even though like in the grand scheme, you'd say, guys, you're 6-6. You better not. Please tell me you don't really think there's such a thing as a trap game. There shouldn't be a trap game. But I do think there's a mentality shift of like, oh, yeah, like we're good. We're playing Tommy DeVito. He's won two in a row, but he wasn't
that. Is LaFleur mad at his team or is he mad at himself? Like if that's it's still on you.
It's probably both. Yeah.
Like it's still on LaFleur to make sure his team doesn't read the clippings and get high about themselves and overlook a Tommy DeVito.
for sure.
I don't know. I don't know that they did overlook Tommy DeVito. I don't know for sure if that's what happened this last week. They made every possible mistake they could have made.
Yeah,
and I is that because they're young and they were due to make some mistakes and they had really been starting to pile up the last few weeks and we were due for some, or were they playing without energy and without focus? I don't know. I thought Matt LaFleur, for the most part, coached a fine game. He was pissed on the sideline in the second quarter because Jordan Love can hit all these open guys. And Keyshawn Nixon had an opportunity to just hold on to his fumble like three times and didn't. And on that fourth down, Jordan Love, I think if he follows Tucker Kraft, he probably gets it by an inch. And instead, he's like, no, I'm going to turn it upfield against Kayvon Thibodeau, who's unblocked. Like, they had all these plays where it's like, hey, you can do five things and four of the things are good. And in all of these instances, the Packers did like the one thing they couldn't do. And I think Matt LaFleur at halftime was probably like, guys, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing right now? This is in front of us. The plays are there to be made and you guys are peeing down your leg.
And I think despite, like, one of the criticisms was, you know, one too many end arounds to Jaden Reed. I think that's also like, who else does he have as a weapon? Like, you're just trying to find ways to get the ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul. And it's everyone's so pissed about the end around. They don't have a running game. They don't have a running
game. Well, on the 2-point conversion, it's like it hadn't worked three straight times. Did you see the stat line on Reed?
Yes.
Bonkers. Like 4 for 38 on the ground, 10 targets, 8 catches, 27 yards. He had less, he had 3.4 yards receiving. Dylan had 3.5 yards of carry rushing.
But especially like toward the end, they didn't even have Dontavian Wicks, you know, like Malik Heath caught a touchdown. Samari Toure had multiple catches.
It was
like
Toure time last night. Yeah.
You are down to it, man. And so like, yeah, it kind of got redundant and silly with the end arounds and the whatever with Jade. But like, this is your only guy who can really honestly make big plays for the most part. So you just, you know, yeah.
Can I say just one thing about the end arounds? Because everyone was like had to get their Jaden Reed reverse joke in before bed. Like I'm out like a Jaden Reed reverse, or like I'm going to bed, like just all the jokes, right? So Jaden Reed was trending last night, and if you went and looked at the tweets, half of them were like, Jaden Reed is a weapon, Jaden Reed is a star, get the ball to Jaden Reed. And then the other half of the tweets were like, stop giving him the ball on end around. Like, I don't know, they don't have a running game. They don't have Aaron Jones. And we all agree that Jaden Reed is their best playmaker last night. And Jordan Love really isn't having a great night. So sorry that Matt LaFleur thought he needed to get the ball in Jaden Reed's hands a little bit and give him a chance to make plays. And if one or two of those goes better, I mean, they win the game and this isn't getting talked about. I don't know.
I would also say real quick, we haven't talked about AJ Dillon in a little bit. And here's my just thought on Dillon. I'll just share it with you guys. But I like it. He's not a top 20 NFL running back. He's not a top 20 NFL running back. But I think Aaron Jones not being available for the majority of this season, I think AJ Dillon just has to be in there and stay in there and keep, like, he's not a guy that you're like, okay, let's go to like a bigger package and let's bring in Dillon for one or two plays. Is there anything to, like, it feels like there's something to that where like Dillon needed this, you know, this window where it's like, well, hey, if I come out, Patrick Taylor's coming in and he's okay, but like, I feel like he started to shine, not just because, oh, okay, he's getting his groove, but because he's not being subbed out constantly. It would make sense that a bigger player like that who plays and runs the way he does needs more time to beat up defenses, which he did. He laid some, but
he's still only rushing for like 3.5 yards of carry. There's no stat line every week is 15 for 50.
And not to
when play you watch open. It, you're like, oh, shit. I know he didn't have 100, but did he have at least 75, 80 yards? And you look at the box score, and it's like, oh, no, he barely ran, like, around the block.
And not to do the All-22 thing or the Pro Football Focus grades thing, but their run blocking is very, very poor as an offensive line. So I'm also
Let me ask you something about that I was bitching about. But before I do that, I do want to remind you about Happy Place Hemp. I don't know what was going on with me last night. I had to take a gummy afterwards for sure. I was feeling like anxious. There was too much going on. And I've talked about this during the red zone noon window when the Packers are on, and then there's other games, and then my fantasy, it's like too much is happening. And I felt that way during this game, with that other game going on and whatever, then the Bucs were on. It's like, So that has helped in regards also to help me sleep with the CBD CBNs. I was talking to someone who had like a problem with their wrist, and I said, well, why don't you try some of the cream? Why don't you try some of the CBD cream? And they put it on, and it worked. 10 minutes later, oh my God, this worked. And I go, yeah, that's why I've been talking about it. HappyPlaceHemp.com, promo code is BART, 25% off your first order. And then your second order, you get 25% off. Your third through 100th order, you get 25% off. And then every order after that, you get 25% off. Promo code is BART, Happy Place Hemp. All orders, you get 25% off. HappyPlaceHemp.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, I have made this a solo layout, and I've always screwed this up. Hey, there's my boys on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream.
All right, I had some before joining the post game show the other night. By the way,
you did?
Would recommend? Yes.
Good. There, this offensive line subbing in and out, is that good? Is that bad? I finally admitted last night, I admitted late on the show, on the Monday show, that I actually do not like the trenches. I'm not a trenches guy.
You don't like the big uglies?
Wait. So all those times that you've said you win in the trenches, you were lying?
I was.
Oh no, this is terrible.
Yeah, I was actually mocking people that do believe that.
Oh, you see, I just never caught on to that. I just never noticed that you were mocking.
There's a lot of things that I started doing as a mock that then slowly became like the thing I do. For instance, good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
that's a mock. But here I am doing it. I don't know. And I'm bad this way in basketball, too. You know, people can look at the game and be like, oh, the Bucks are in this kind of zone. I just watch the ball, dude. I suck. No shit. I only watch the ball in basketball and football. It never even crosses my mind to think, I wonder what starting five offensive line they have. And I look at the numbers. I don't give a shit. And then if a guy comes out, and then someone goes in, I don't notice. I don't notice them at all. I notice the receiver. And maybe this is the fantasy part of my brain. Because I notice what receiver's in there. I notice what running back's in there. I never, ever look at the offensive line. Ever.
No.
They're basically almost even not even human to me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just like, they could be lazy boys for all I care.
Have you ever
five little lazy boys?
Have you ever heard that you don't want to see the offensive linemen because it means that you only see them when they make a mistake? Yeah. You don't want to notice them. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah. I mean, the answer to your question is it's because neither Nijman nor Walker are particularly good at this point in their careers. And so you're like, I don't know, let's try this.
Thank so you. Each by of way, them for, can give you about a half a game.
Thank yeah. you for doing that. It's neither nor, either or. Thank you for that, Paul. That's a common one that our society often gets wrong. I appreciate I see you and I appreciate you.
Oh, I got you back here, buddy.
You know how you can tell what way is left and right? Because the L, you do your hands and the L
oh, is
left.
Shit.
That's what I'm teaching my son. For left and right. Put your hands out. Which one's the L? That's left.
All right.
Is your son right-handed?
Yes. Also, that's how on a boat you know that port is the left side, because four letters in port and four letters in left.
As what's the opposite of port side?
Starboard.
Starboard.
Bow to stern, yeah. Baby.
Didn't think I know that, but motherfucker, which one of us has worked on a boat? Which one of us was steering for just a brief moment when Captain let me, the Mississippi Queen?
You sailed the Mississippi Queen? I envy you.
Man, yeah. Take a good hard look at the motherfucking boat. Hey.
Take a look at me now.
Another Phil Collins reference on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream. My friends were giving me guff for listening to Genesis a couple of weeks ago.
Your friends should give you guff for listening to Genesis.
Oh, fuck no. Get out of here.
Shut up, Paul.
Paul's musical taste. Let me enlighten the folks.
I would love to hear your encapsulation of it.
Yeah, if you sit down at a concert.
We would never sit down at a concert, but okay.
I'm going to be sitting down at Death Cab.
Are you going to Death Cab and Postal Service?
Yes, and it is way more expensive than I fucking thought it was going to be.
Where is it?
Like Pabst or Riverside or
Miller
something?
High Life in May. Yeah.
Sorry, keep going. I want to hear this.
So I sit down. I'm going to watch this concert. I'm going to enjoy Death Cab and Postal Service. And they're going to have music and familiar, like, you know, it's going to be that.
Melody.
What Paul likes is when they're loading their truck with all their instruments and it's just clanging and noise. That's what he likes to listen to. Just chaotic noise.
Yes.
That's your taste in music.
Yeah. Great, great, great noise.
It's just energy. It's just fuel to Paul.
All right. What else? What else must we cover today?
I must, and Bart, you and I have slightly different takes on this, I know already. But I think there are some people, most of the people who are listening are going to have drastically different takes than you. And it's the Shohei Ohtani contract. We must talk about it. The structure, the deferral situation of the Shohei Ohtani. You've not talked about this yet. I didn't listen yet to the Tuesday morning post-game.
I mean, I've talked about it a lot on CBS.
But since the deferral news came out?
Not on this show, really.
Okay, let's set the stage. Shohei Ohtani, 10 years, $700 million. 68 of the $70 million each year of the 10 years, 68 of the 70 is deferred into after the contract is over, which means he's going to make $2 million a year for real. Now, my understanding is the collective bargaining, there's the CBT or whatever it is, the threshold, he's going to count $46 million against that. So do we...
Yeah, that's weird. So... When because you defer it, you get a discount, which makes no sense. So luxury tax-wise, they're kind of like – I saw a funny joke. They're not the L.A. Dodgers guys.
What?
They're the L.A. tax Dodgers.
No. No. Who wrote that one?
Genius.
Genius. So in reality, he gets $2 million. He'll eventually have made $70 million per year, but the luxury tax implications that it's a $46 million per year hit to the Dodgers. But, Bart, I didn't expect this to be a topic on the show, so I just sent it to you. I usually, if there's a topic, I don't send it to you guys. But you were like, yeah, this is great. I love this. And I don't think I've seen anyone else on social media or elsewhere say anything positive about why this is good, because it's absurd. Like, it's silly. It's silly. It's silly. It's foolish season. Like, this mm-hmm. This should not be like, like, you shouldn't have, like, when they're like, oh, this, like, remember when the report first came out that he was signing with the Dodgers? Were like, there's going to be, quote, significant deferrals.
Well, this was his idea.
Great. And I'm not, I mean, credit to Shohei for essentially what, like, I mean, I guess he's still going to get what will, with inflation, be a $450 million contract. And also, I saw, like, if he's not living in California.
Oh, he's still getting $700 million.
Well, not in today dollars.
Oh, okay.
Because they were talking about, like, okay, so by the time he's in 2043, by the time he's getting his last.
You can also duck out of California and maybe even America and not pay taxes.
That's what I was going to say. So the other part of it is if he's not living in California, thumbs up, emoticon thing, then he will get that back. So anyway, Bart, I think I know how you're going to answer this, and you're, like, going to be in the 5% of people who would say this. This Shohei Ohtani contract situation, as it relates to the deferrals and the ability to do it this way, is good for Major League Baseball?
Oh, mm-hmm. No, I don't think it's good for baseball.
Oh, okay, so who's it? Why is it? Why did it make you so giddy when I texted to you?
Like Josh?
Sure. That's 2 weeks so in a row.
Well, basically what he's doing, what Shohei's doing is signing a 10-year, $20 million contract.
Yeah.
And then once that ends, a 10-year, $680 million contract kicks in, which is wild. When they first said crazy deferments, I thought it'd be like, you know how Yelich is getting paid through 49? Yeah. I thought it'd be something like that, only even deeper. What I appreciate about this is every team should be fucking mad.
Yes.
Like, I didn't know we could do this.
Right.
And it's not cheating. This is what I love about sports, is trying to find ways that are cheating that aren't cheating. Trying to find the winning on the margins. The Dodgers are totally within their right to do this based on the rules that are set up. So it's not cheating. You can pay a guy however you want. You still have to pay him. You have to pay him the money. It's guaranteed money. You have to pay him the money, and this is how they're choosing to do it. What I like about this is the same thing that I like about the Yankees trading for Juan Soto for really a bunch of scrap, is baseball fucking blows. Baseball inherently is a boring game that has a shit system. It's capitalism. All of our other sports are some form of socialism. So we should love baseball the most because it's capitalism. That shouldn't we? I mean, this is a weird thing, but this is like, oh, the number one team gets the best, the worst team gets the best player. That's fucked up, kind of. That is weird. The council, so it's weird. But in baseball, it's, you have money. Yeah, you got to pay a little bit of tax, whatever. It's kind of a hindrance. But if you want to go spend $500 million, the rich had agreed to spend $330, $350 on payroll. And then Steve Cohen's like, fuck it, 500. And then everybody got mad at him. And that was crazy. What I like about this, what I do appreciate about this, is the system is fucked.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's not good. And it benefits, it fucks a lot of teams over. And so it almost makes the playoffs, like, everything I hate about the playoffs, it's almost like the playoffs have to be this way. Because you got a team that's going to win 110 games in the Dodgers. So give them a week and a half off to get cold so that your plucky little Diamondbacks and these other markets can have a shot. But what I like about it is if you're in a system that is unfair to most, but you can exploit it, you should be taking advantage of that every way you can. I like that the Yankees are acting like the Yankees.
Yeah.
They've been the shitty fucking team for a decade, never flexing their nuts. They're the Yankees. Act like it. The Dodgers are in this massive market where they stole Shohei from across town, and people are acting like he went from Pittsburgh to L.A. He went from one side of L.A. to L.A., but because the Dodgers are such a behemoth and a huge brand, it is a massive deal, and they're going to just raise. It's not a fair system. It sucks as a Brewers fan that we have to do the things that we have to do to even stay competitive, and that it is a big deal when we lose our manager because he's been a part of what's kept us sort of competitive. But if you're one of these guys that are teams that can do it, then do it. So I appreciate that the Yankees are acting evil, that the Dodgers have found a way, that the rich are getting richer. That's the system that they're afforded in. So take advantage of it from their point of view. That's what I appreciate about it. Also, I love it because it's just so fucking ridiculous. This contract is absurd.
Absurd.
And I think that it's funny.
By the way, Grant made a face, and I think it was for Behemoth.
Yeah.
Or Behemoth, I think is what Grant was waiting for when Bart.
Oh, said. Did I say it wrong?
I don't know. Is it Behemoth or is it Behemoth? I would have said.
Please correct me when I say wrong words so I can edit it or have Tim edit. Yesterday, I got a few texts from Matt in the Falls as he was listening. He sent me a text, Arthur Idick, because apparently I say arthritis.
Yeah, it's not athlete.
So I say it wrong. Then immediately I followed that up with an experiment.
You do say that one really. You say that one strange.
Experiment?
Experiment.
I say experiment?
Yeah.
And then he's like, please give me a New Orleans to round it out.
I'm not sure if I know the correct New Orleans. Like,
Emeril Lagasse says New Orleans. And I am inclined to listen to him when he says
that. New Orleans would have been my last place vote for how to say it.
I'm going to call it Nolens.
Nolens. I do know, thanks to Veep, that it is Nevada.
Dude, we watched half a season of Veep on Saturday, and that's one of the best bits is Kent just jumping on to say Nevada.
Nevada.
It's daylight saving time.
Oh, yep. God. You know what? I will always.
By the way, if you like some of that food down there in Nolens, let me tell you about my friends at Tupelo Honey Cafe. Oh, so this is important. It's very important. It's 20% off when you put Bart on the reservation. Starting Fridays the 15th through Christmas Eve, you also will then get a free appetizer or dessert. TupeloHoneyCafe.com, downtown Milwaukee. Great Southern food. Chicken and waffles. I had the sriracha chicken the first time, and then I did try their breakfast, which was good. It was avocado toast. I said that wrong just now. I say Tupelo honey, right? That's all that matters.
It's avocado. Avocado.
Avocado. Avocado. And then on Christmas Eve, they do have a brunch. So if you're making plans, TupeloHoneyCafe.com. Yeah, I say words wrong. Look, I say words wrong. And a part of it's the Midwestern accent. And also a part of it is, look, I got bullied into saying Falcons, okay? So take that as a win. I gave you Falcons. I would like to say Falcons, as I've been saying for 37 years, but the last 2 years, I've given you Falcons.
You have, and I appreciate your effort.
I cannot, I can't change Jaguars because I don't understand, like, I don't know what it should be. Jaguars?
Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Wars.
Jaguars.
Yes.
Ugh, I mean, doesn't that hurt your mouth to say it?
You know, I think the reason you say Falcon is, I forget, it was one of the toys that we grew up with, but they called it the Millennium Falcon. I think it was like one of the McDonald's toys.
No, wrong.
Really?
I don't play with Star Wars. I don't do anything Star Wars.
Even as a youngin'?
My kid has no Star Wars toys, no Star Wars jammies. I actually make sure, because part of my family, they're into Star Wars, and I'm like, don't give them this shit.
Not even some Young Jedi Adventures on Disney Plus?
We are focused on Marvel. We are focused on Ninja Turtles.
So what do you watch?
Ninja Turtles? We're focused on Peanuts. We're focused on Mario.
Mm-hmm.
We're focused on, he loves the Home Alone movies. Okay?
You're a big Elf family, though.
Elf's fucking piece of shit.
Grant?
Will Ferrell had an era where it was just a little too much.
That's every comic that's ever had their run making movies. You could say that about
like
everybody.
We'll say
like, that's what I don't like. What I don't like about Tommy DeVito is what I didn't like about Elf. It feels like it's somebody doing a Tommy. It's somebody doing an impression of a stereotypical Italian family. And Elf was like, I'm doing an impression of a Will Ferrell Christmas movie.
Elf is great. What yep. the fuck?
And also, this? The ending is terrible. You no, bring back not. The Christmas spirit by singing. The ending is there's. It's not. Look, I like my Christmas movies to be grounded in realism.
Bart, we all know the way you spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
I'm a Christmas with the Cranks guy, but Elf is a great movie. It's a great movie.
I knew when I said Bart up for this, Grant, it's a fantastic movie. I knew he would just bite on my.
Also, Christmas Vacation is great. And great. Anyone who in the year 2023 is like, it's never been funny. Enough.
Okay? Are you going to see Chevy Chase and his screener of Christmas Vacation in Milwaukee?
No.
Why? Because
we don't need to sell tickets to fucking everything now. That's another complaint I have. I don't need to go pay money to watch the Always Sunny crew talk about the show they did years ago. We don't need that. Okay?
They booked the Chevy Chase Christmas Vacation in Milwaukee with you in mind. Like you were like the target demo for that, and you're not going. So I don't know.
We don't need it. We don't need to sell tickets to everything under the sun now.
Let me clear up my Elf take. It is a good movie that I feel has been a bit overrated over the years. I thought it's got been instant out for like classic. 1 year. I know, but in 2003 it came out. In 2004 it was like all time greatest Christmas. Like let it simmer before we look back. Like we were calling it a classic.
You were such a prick. I
believe they call that an instant classic, which it was and is.
Now, we can all agree on what's not only the worst Christmas movie, but dare I say the worst piece of video that's ever been put on film.
Polar Express?
That's where I was going.
Reminds me a lot of the Marvel movie in that it's all CGI.
Oh, boy. Sucks.
Them's fighting words.
No. Christmas Story.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. From 1946?
I wanted a BB gun. Shut up, kid.
Yeah.
Loser. I don't know.
Oh, It's a Wonderful Life is ass, too.
Well, Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, well, what do you mean? The bank's out of money.
But is it Miracle or Miracle?
All I need is a miracle. Mike's and the Mechanics say Miracle.
Nice. Another Genesis tangent. Nice. Nice.
Who's the girl in It's a Wonderful Life? What's her name in the movie? Mary. Mary.
Oh, Mary.
Yeah. I can do a James Stewart. That's it. Like Mary. I can do an Owen Wilson. Wow. But that's it.
I want to hear more in the Mary voice, though. Try it.
It really just circles back to Hodricord at the end after he says a couple words. It's going to become Hodricord. Yeah.
Tom Hodricord in It's a Wonderful Life.
Ready? And
just a minute, Mr. Potter. My father was no businessman. I know. Mr. Potter, why can't we have money at Christmas?
What was the bank called again?
I don't know. Who cares? I've only seen the movie one time, actually. I don't fucking know. It was like not.
What about Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn? And
what a hurry! All right, that's enough Christmas talk.
All right.
How did we get this far without saying DH?
DH.
You know what was really funny, and this is not a direct answer.
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Did you guys see the Arcade Fire tweet the other day? Did I send that to you guys?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Fucking funny. Who was that really though?
That was the Die Hard cast. That was all the guys who were
Where is she? Where's my wife?
The detonators.
I feel like it's also not far off that you're going to spin into like Pashke zone.
Exactly. They're all attached. This is, if you ever watch Caliendo talk about his impressions, they're all just a little tweak of each other. It's like, it's
hey,
a little
Mr. Potter, where's my money?
Mr. Potter, have you ever watched a game of Bucks basketball?
It's Bucks basketball.
The RSNs can't afford their fees to the team. This is what we should sell tickets and apps. Bart Winkler Christmas.
The Bart Winkler Christmas. Featuring Jim Pashke and Tom Haudricourt and the now retired Jeff Wagner, WTMJ. It's Christmas this miracle. I listen to this. I went down to Bayshore, a mall that I quite enjoy, and they put up a tree as they've been doing every year in my time in Milwaukee. And I thought nothing of it of the past, where it's the Christmas season and I saw a Christmas tree. And I saw some signage, and so I was inclined to ask a gentleman that was working there, employed, and I said, excuse me, I noticed that this is called a holiday tree. For so long, it's been called a Christmas tree. And I said, do you not put the Christ in Christmas? And he said, we call it a holiday tree for all inclusions. And I said, well, as a practicing Christian, I just want a Christmas tree. That was almost like too real to be funny. I saw a tweet the other day that someone just tweeted. I don't know why I saw this tweet. Someone tweeted, for real though, Jesus Christ is like a top three hard name of all time. Like, it's just a great fucking name. Take religion out of it. The guy's name was Jesus Christ. And someone goes, oh yeah, God was in his bag. God was in his bag.
Oh. This is the worst podcast we've ever done.
Why?
But it's awesome. I love it.
Grant, which leads me to Grant, your thoughts on Shohei's deferral.
Like Grant Bills. Paul Emig.
Jesus Christ.
What a name.
They didn't make Paul Emig superstar or bar. It's
no,
Jesus
they didn't.
Superstar.
Well, there. I don't yell Grant Bills when I stub my toe.
The Ohtani thing. So there's like a million different.
Well, things. this is objectively terrible, right? Though, like for Major League Baseball, like the precedent that it's setting, and like
it's. See, here's the thing. It's terrible for the Jimmys and Joes who support their teams. On Monday, I basically on my show, this is the comparison I made. My team is a hobby farm. The Brewers for me it's a hobby farm. It's nice. I can tend to my crops. And it's like, oh, look at me. I'm growing a little patch of corn. But this isn't going to make me money ever. It's just a thing that I enjoy on the side that's not serious. Because the Jimmys and the Joes across both the AL and the NL have no fucking shot. Okay? Now, the problem is the voices of baseball, the writers and insiders, the Ken Rosenthals of the world, are writing stories that are like, but wait, this is actually great for baseball. And it's because they're a shill for a league right now that's kind of
it's awful for baseball.
Super, they think, well, super teams. This will be what brings national interest in. Guess what? Fucking Steve in Wisconsin Rapids is not watching Sunday Night Baseball ever. He's
like,
never.
That's my going thing to about. Yeah, how many times? Let's say the Dodgers are on Fox 10 never. Times throughout the summer, five, never. Six, seven times on ESPN, MLB Network. Sunday Peacock. How many times are you going to watch a Dodgers game? You're not, because if you're going to watch a game that day, it's going to be the Brewers.
Mm-hmm. And then after doing that, you're not going to watch another 3 hours of baseball.
Fuck no.
So this is terrible for the game. One annoying bit of pushback that I saw from Dodgers fans is like, well, anybody could have found the loophole. Anybody could have deferred the money. We were just the team smart enough to do it. It's not about the deferral. It's about having $700 million in principal to fucking spend. It's like, well, Grant, anybody could have bought a house during the 2008 market crash. I was fucking 10. So no, I couldn't. I did not have the money to buy a house in 2000. It's not about being smart and being savvy about having the money. And I would recommend that both of you and all Brewers fans go and read about the Dodgers RSN deal Andrew Marchand wrote about it in the Sports Business Journal. It's free. Brett and Tosa shared if you follow Brett. So most RSNs are tied in a way that allows them to fold.
Regional
sports networks, of course. So if they're not getting their money back because they're not getting the subscribers and they're not getting their end out of the deal, they're allowed to collapse or go bankrupt or go away without the parent company suffering too much. The Dodgers sports network is not set up that way. It's set up through Charter. Charter cannot fold that without going bankrupt itself. So that $330 million that they're giving the Dodgers every year, they could lose every single subscriber. There could be not a single house in Los Angeles that's getting it and subscribed to it. It would not matter. That money's coming in anyways, because that's the deal that somehow the Dodgers got into. So they have all the money in the world because of a TV contract that's terrible for the network, which I don't really care. But, you know, you have the Padres, who are selling off good players because they're not getting checks from their carrier because no one's subscribing. That doesn't matter for the Dodgers. It sucks. It really, really, really sucks. But this is just another symptom of a problem and a disease that's been plaguing baseball for a long time. This isn't new.
But this is three additional exclamation points.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And what's unbelievable, and I've brought this up on my show, is it's so bizarre. And you'd have to spend a good amount of time on Twitter to really get this, but like, I used to work with a broadcaster. Now he's in Philly. He's at WIP. So I follow him and I follow some of the WIP stuff because it's interesting. He's a buddy. And some of the discourse that Phillies fans have, it's like, would you want Mike Trout? And half the fans are like, well, I don't know. He's aging. And it's like, I can't imagine. Or
a Philly guy?
Or
he is.
Yeah. Or the Dodgers, right? When I read an article that's like, they have Ohtani. What's next? And then I look at the replies and it's like, now Yamamoto and a Rosarena. It's like, Jesus Christ, as we were talking about. Like, if my team signs Andrew McCutchen, I'm like, damn, we got a nice piece this offseason. He's a little older. We'll make it work. It's like these fucking fan bases, man. That, I don't know. I can't fathom thinking that way about my team and the finances of my team.
Anyway. Yeah. I like your hobby farm example.
Hobby farm. That's what we are.
And I love our hobby farm.
I do too. That's the fucking worst, Paul, is I can't.
I'm very attached to our hobby farm. Yeah. I have a big emotional investment in our hobby farm.
Jackson Churio, by the way, going to make more money yearly over the next 10 years than Shohei Ohtani. So
five times as much.
Good money.
I think the two things that are worth mentioning in this part of the conversation that you guys might say, yeah, I know that. Have you connected this to the Mario Lemieux situation with the Penguins?
I don't even know who that is.
I don't even know what a penguin. What is that?
Mario Lemieux, NHL great.
NHL.
The Penguins went bankrupt in the middle of his like deferral payments. You should read it. It's really interesting. And so they were literally in bankruptcy court. And he became an owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And it now, like, that was an amazing deal because I think he had $26 million. Lemieux did.
That's how he got ownership?
Yeah. They hadn't, like, I don't know. How are we going to pay him? Like, let's make him an owner. And now, like, his shares are worth, like, $350 million.
That seems horrible.
Of the Penguins when all he was owed was another $26 million. And I don't know if Justin Turner, Dodgers legend Justin Turner, was joking on Twitter, X, but he said, this will be fun for whichever person owns the Dodgers in 15 years. So is like, let's say the Dodgers are owned by someone else in 2030. Yeah. Go look up Justin Turner's profile. I don't know. Like, would you then pass those payments? Like we owe an employee $680 million new owner in 10 years. I think the new owner would have to take that on. Part of the debit and credit would be like, okay, well, you also have to give this guy 600. In the meantime, you, the current owner of the Dodgers, is presumably winning multiple championships and just got to sign the best, one of the best players in baseball history.
So could Ohtani theoretically in 10 years, like move to Florida where there's no income tax and then receive the.
Yes.
Japan, I think.
He could. And then so like it's a interesting and in some cases could be a brilliant, you know, it's like the difference. You're talking about a guy who's either going to be a billionaire or a multi-billionaire. So, like, let's be real about it.
So but he's like, fucking over my government.
Wow.
He is costing the state of California tens upon hundreds of millions of dollars. He is. Wow. He actually is.
All right. Like, next time I'm out in California, I'm going to notice potholes and decrepit parks.
Shit on the streets.
Yeah. And I'm going to feel like if only there were tax dollars to pay for this. And I'm going to blame Shohei Ohtani.
Read about Mario Lemieux sometime. It's interesting. And
when again, they come to Milwaukee, I'm going to hold up signs that say crook.
Tax evader.
Tax dodger.
That's good stuff.
Show Uncle Sam the money.
Grant, how many more minutes do I have you for?
I got another 5 minutes.
All right. The Lakers are hanging an in-season tournament banner.
Oh, Christ.
If the Bucks did this, you would have been embarrassed.
Mm-hmm, no. Aren't they doing like a small side banner that they can like put check marks on if they win? I think it's fine.
I've not seen the banner. I would just preface this by saying I didn't know how you're.
There's going to be like it's like a conference championship banner at a high school.
Yeah,
it's like we won football in 2000, then we won in 2006, and all the years are on there. It's not a separate banner for everyone.
I think it's fine. Really,
I think the. Let me just say this because I
think it's funny they assume it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I think though, like, okay, if the Pacers had won and they had hung an in-season tournament banner, I think it would have been kind of like mocked a little bit, right? Because, yeah, this is the best you're gonna do, and blah 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 blah. I think the fact that the Lakers did it legitimizes the in-season tournament far more than just about any other.
I think vice versa.
Really? I think this makes it seem. Hey, if LeBron cared about this, if the Lakers are gonna hang a banner about this. It proves that it matters. If a lesser team had done the same thing and they got all excited about their in-season tournament win, it would have been like, okay, like we get it. You're not a good team. You're never going to actually win an NBA title. But I think the fact that LeBron and the Lakers, like the biggest names in the NBA as a sport and as a player, cared about it and are going to like broadcast it, advertise it in their arena, I think is like completely legitimizes the tournament forever.
There's 29 arenas used in the NBA, right? Because until the Clippers get their own, there's 29.
Yes.
The Lakers' two biggest wins of the LeBron era didn't come in any of those arenas. It came in the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas, and it came at fucking Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
I mean, they've won – essentially, you could call this a championship. They've won two championships in fucking tourist parks.
Yeah.
It's the funniest shit ever that they were the ones to win.
So, Bart, I know you talked earlier on this episode about there are things that you initially did as a joke that became part of your shtick. And I think being an in-season tournament guy started as a shtick and then became real. But, like, if the Bucks had won and they were, like, going to have a pregame banner-raising thing, like, you would have been like, yeah, like for real. This is I want to see this. This is cool.
Paul, if the Brewers are going to hang a flag for 2020 wild card, I think the Bucks can hang a banner for winning an in-season.
I'm not even criticizing it. I just think there would have been a significant section of.
What are you going to do? Just win it and not acknowledge it anywhere?
Yeah, I'm with Bart.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying I think if a lesser team than the Lakers would have done this,
if it was just a in-season, like the Lakers are doing it right, it's a living banner. You can add to it.
Yeah.
It's not like, here's the banner that says, fucking, we won 7 games in a row. Some of them counted, some of them didn't.
I think this leads to my last question. The in-season tournament was awesome. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was funny. Throughout the time, it was. And then after I read all these articles, like, it sucked. I did take a phone call. Yeah. I took a phone call from a guy that I kept talking about. Because he's like, look, I'm a casual sports fan. I watch the NBA on Christmas in the playoffs. This didn't resonate to me. So what I think it did was, if you're into the NBA in the normal times, that maybe you watched Saturday night, maybe you didn't. But why I think we all think it's a success is because I said that there's 82 pizzas that we get a season. And pizza's good. We like pizza. But it's the same pizza every night, right? Well, all of a sudden, instead of just the same pepperoni and cheese pizza, We got a stuffed crust pizza one day. We got a meat lover supreme. We got a crazy pizza from one of those pizza doctor type places where it's like full of M&Ms and sprinkles and ice cream. It's like, it's just different. It's still pizza, but it's different pizza. It's a different kind of what we were experiencing. So NBA people that are like watching the games and covering the games for 82 games. Hey, this was a little different. This is great. I'm not sure. I just saw an article. It did have the outside of the playoffs and outside of Christmas. It was the highest rated NBA game in 6 years.
The final was Lakers Pacers.
Yeah. Outside of Christmas and then any playoffs, highest rated game in 6 years. So obviously it got some attention being on a Saturday night help, but I think it was more appreciated by people that already were watching it anyway than bringing in.
But that wouldn't make sense then, because it was watched by more people than whatever. If that had just been a Saturday night NBA game, that wouldn't have happened.
Right. But I still think the people that were watching it are NBA people.
Yeah.
I don't think this was like an Olympics or a World Cup or a tennis final where you're like, oh fuck. I mean, this isn't like my thing, but I love sports. I have to see this.
But don't the ratings indicate otherwise?
No,
like, I'm not saying it's probably super high. Okay. I want to say this, and Grant, I'm curious for your take before you jump, but I tried to watch a non-in-season tournament game the next night, and I struggled because the stakes – I'm serious. Because the stakes were clearly different. I'm serious. I love the
NBA. Who were you watching? What was the team?
Was this whoever it was on Sunday that I started? I'd have to go back and look
watch
at my league.
Football. Pass, it's Sunday. No shit.
I know.
Not that important. Like, and maybe, I love basketball.
Maybe that's part of it.
I'm being a dick too, but.
But I mean, like, I do that. Those games, when I was watching Saturday Lakers Pacers, I knew I was watching something. Again, I love the NBA, right? So I'm not the guy that they're trying to bring in. I'm not the casual Christmas and playoffs viewer. I thought it was awesome. Like, it just felt – it felt big, you know? It felt big.
It was fun.
I got hammered during it. I was so pumped up. I got so fucking drunk. And I was drinking rum and gin, and I was going, like, back-to-back. It was fucking actually a bad night, but
– it was Saturday night. I didn't watch Saturday night, the final. I was too sad about my Bucks. We had a Christmas party, so I did not watch. Unfortunately, but.
All right, we're gonna table this one for next week. Hot take: Jake had a tweet that I saved. I was gonna ask you guys about if the Bucks should stand pat. We are about to cross on Friday of this week. Chris Middleton will be trade eligible.
Yeah,
Middleton. Next time we'll do this. Middleton and Beauchamp for Marcus Smart and Brandon Clark is a proposal.
I will not entertain any conversation. Middleton.
You kind of cut out there, but I think you said you will not entertain Middleton trades.
Correct.
Trades or not, yeah, we're going to talk about Middleton because.
What, as a Shark Tank shark might say about Chris Middleton, I'm out.
Jesus. Hey, follow me everywhere.
I'm not out on what Middleton did for the Bucks in the recent past.
Likewise.
You guys need blue sky codes?
No.
I just signed up for Blue Sky. And I'm on Threads. I'm not yet on Spoutable.
I don't know what any of those are.
I don't either.
I'll just look at the ads for sex toys and porn bots and sift through everything else on Twitter. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Thank you, boys. I have to go to work.
Bye, Grant.
This was fun. Bye.
Bye. Hi, Bart. Bye, Bart.
I'm going to play a voicemail from Vincent in Anaheim. I don't know if you want to stay around for that or not.
Sure.
Anything else you want to discuss? Just me and you?
No. why are you so out on Chris Middleton being traded? Why will you not entertain this very obvious move?
You think obvious?
I mean, obvious to explore Middleton. They need to be seriously exploring Chris Middleton trades. I don't think you can count on his availability and his I'm not ready to count on him being part of a serious part of the next of the championship. And I think because you don't have a lot of other pieces to move around, and you do need, I'm sorry to say, because Chris Middleton was an instrumental part of the Bucks championship, but I don't think the Bucks can do what they need to do this year without Alex Caruso or Marcus Smart. Chris Middleton has been a better NBA player through his career than those guys, unquestioned to me. And I like Marcus Smart, and I think Middleton has clearly had a better career than Marcus Smart, but like, you only have so many pieces you can interchange, and the only realistic one is Middleton. So like, if you're going to do something, it has to be him. Like, you can make something smaller with like a Bobby Portis or a Pat Connaughton, but I just don't think they're going to do that. So I would, Jake, I would do your trade. I don't know if the Grizzlies would do your trade, Jake, of Marcus Smart.
I think for me, maybe it's the fatigue thing. Like, I'm not into being a Bucks fan I said deuces to Bucks Twitter. I'm not like it's all, we're always trying to change the team. Oh, well,
the team needs some
tinkers. Now we want PJ Tucker back. It's like, Jesus Christ, guys.
Well, not everyone does.
All right, I'm gonna play a voicemail from Vince.
Well, if you woke up Friday morning and you had pissed. the news, you'd be pissed.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Middleton played 33 minutes the other night. He had 14 points.
Oh, wow.
Middleton had these are Lillard's stats. Shit. No, Middleton had 13 points.
Oh, even
eight. Lillard's going 3 for 17. That's your fucking problem.
It is. I mean, and they won't win the title if Lillard goes 3 for 17. So
carlovt.com/Bart. Golf simulators. You can set them up. You can set them up where you can actually watch sports while golf simulating. But Vincent's in Anaheim, and I think he will. Shohei Ohtani as an Angels fan. He actually left me two voicemails. One was a disaster, so he called again. Here's Vincent.
Hey, what's up, Bart, man? Forget the last recording. I just called, man. I just called in, and that was messed up, man. I got some radio interference over here at work, so I apologize. But it's Vincent for Anaheim. You know myself, go Pack, go. I'm on the Packers to get this win against the Giants. It is Monday evening.
Well, sorry about that, Vinny.
Let y'all know. Continue to shock the world. Packers continue to shock the world. I don't care if they sneak into the playoffs or get a better position. Doesn't matter. We'll see what happens, though. You know what I mean? And so that's first. Next, I wanted to say is, man, it's a betrayal. It's betrayal. It's betrayal season, man. First, you know, Craig Council, he goes to the Cubs and betrays the Brewers. And then Shohei Ohtani, my Angels franchise player, shows the punk-ass Dodgers. Like I said before, over here people in Anaheim, it's kind of like a mixed bag. But people just hate the fact that he probably went to the Dodgers. For me personally, I said, get your money, so I ain't going to hate against it. But if you want to join the enemy side, now you a punk-ass enemy now, so fuck them. You know what I mean? That goes for Craig Council. Now it goes for Shohei Ohtani. You know what I mean? It's cool. But now it's going to be harder for me to even cheer for that punk motherfucker because he went to the Dodgers. But, you know, it is what it is. That $70 million a year, whatever the hell it's deferred, he's going to get his money. So, you know, but over here, man, Anaheim's not over, man. We just got to get consistent. If you want a whole rundown of the Angels, Mike Trout, you know, he got to stay healthy. Anthony Rendon has to show up. Joe Adell has to stay consistent. You know, and then we got our rookies like Logan O'Hoppe and Zach Neto that did decent. So, you know, we'll see what we can do, man.
Then the Angels have no chance, bro. They suck.
So we can take some of your Brewers pictures, you know? But fuck it, man. Disappointed, but, you know, so the offseason betrayal for me and my fandom, man. Like I said, I'm an Angels fan and a Milwaukee Brewers fan and a San Francisco Giants fan. So the Giants, they're just kind of disappointing because they're not making any moves. So, but we'll see what happens, man.
So he's also a Giants fan. That's Vincent in Anaheim with a breakdown of the Angels prospects. Shohei and the Dodgers visit the Angels, I believe, in September. Oh, that'll be a big thing. And your first chance to see Shohei in a Dodgers uniform will be in South Korea, games that are held on the 20th and 21st. The MLB does this where they start some games in Asia and then come back and then play more spring training games after they've already played regular season games.
and that's always weird.
Ohtani is not pitching this year, right?
He's not pitching this year.
Yeah.
Some would say they're not sure he's ever going to pitch again.
Really?
Some. I think that he will pitch again. And I like the deal, too, for the Dodgers because they will get this money back.
Oh, yeah.
In endorsements, advertising.
Yeah.
This was a good move for them.
Of course.
Anything else? Paul Imig.
No, I don't think so.
Great finish.
Strong to the finish.
I'll be live again after Bucks Pacers, a rematch of the quarterfinal game. Semifinal. I'll be live Wednesday night after that, and hope that you can join us. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
And Grant, also before.
Bye, Bart.
No. Mary.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC.